Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Ajanta Pharma Q1 FY 2024 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Yogesh Agrawal, Managing Director of Ajanta Pharma Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome all of you. With me, I have Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, our Joint Managing Director, Mr. Arvind Agrawal, our CFO, Mr. Rajeev Agrawal, our AVP, Finance and Investor Relations. Friends, on July 9th, we celebrated a significant milestone, the 50th anniversary of Ajanta Pharma. Today, our company stands strong and distinguished within the pharmaceutical industry. We have not only stood shoulder to shoulder with our leading companies, but we have also carved out our own unique mark of excellence. Over the years, we have built large brands across geographies, state-of-the-art research and development centers, top-notch manufacturing facilities, robust quality systems, and efficient business processes that are second to none. These accomplishments, significant as they are, aren't the only reasons for our success. At the heart of Ajanta Pharma is its people. We cultivated exceptional leadership, developed phenomenal teams, and nurtured a resilient culture of excellence. On this occasion, we would like to thank all our stakeholders: Ajantites, existing and past, customers, suppliers, banks, business partners, associates, and shareholders for their support and contribution leading to Ajanta's success. Let me take you to another important announcement that I would like to make regarding the interim dividend. I'm happy to share with you that the Board of Directors have approved first interim dividend of rupees 315 crores for the year FY 2024. It translates into rupees 25 per share, which is 1,250% for each rupees 2 face value share. This total dividend of rupees 25 per share includes a regular dividend of rupees 10 per share and an additional rupees 10 per share distributed as a special dividend on the commemoration of 50 years of momentous journey of the company. I am happy to share that we started FY 2024 on a strong note. I and our Joint MD will take you through business-wise performance for the Q1, along with the comparison of previous year's same period. Our three verticals of business, branded generic, U.S. generic, and institution business in Africa, generated total revenue of rupees 1,021 crore against rupees 951 crore, posting a growth of 7%. During the quarter, 73% of the total sales came from the branded generic, which is spread across India, Asia, and Africa. This business has surety, scalability, and sustainability for the long term. The sales stood at rupees 732 crores against 688 crores, posting 6% growth. I invite Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, Joint MD, to take you through our India business. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening to you all. I'm happy to share key highlights of India business. Our performance has been excellent on the back of market share gain, price increase, and new product launches. India business contributed 32% in the total revenue with sales of rupees 319 crores against rupees 279 crores, posting a healthy growth of over 14%. India business includes the revenue from trade generics of rupees 36 crores against 36 crores. During the quarter, we launched three new products and have a pipeline of launches lined up for the coming year. Our MR productivity has improved further in line with the revenue growth as MR strength remains unchanged. We continue to grow faster than the IPM by 400 basis points, with Ajanta growing at 15% against IPM growth of 11% as per IQVIA MAT June 2023. It was the same for the therapeutic segments we are present in, where our growths are much higher than the segment growth. In the covered market, we continue to be fourth largest in IPM and amongst top 10 in all our therapeutic segments. As per IQVIA MAT June 2023, we gained one rank since March 2023 and stood at 26th In our sales, cardiology contributed 39%, ophthalmology contributed 31%, and dermatology contributed 21% of our India business, with remaining 9% coming from the pain segment. Now, I request Mr. Yogesh Agrawal, MD, to take you through the other business performance. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. I am now happy to brief you about the branded generic business in Asia and Africa, which contributed 42% in the total revenue during the quarter. Let's start with Asia. In Asia, our business is spread across Middle East, Southeast Asia, and Central Asia, covering about 10 countries. During Q1, the sales was Rs. 254 crores against Rs. 240 crores, growth of 6%. We launched two new products during the Q1 in the region. We maintained our guidance of mid-teen growth for the FY 2024. Let's move to Africa. In Africa, the business is spread over West and Eastern African markets in 20 countries. During Q1, sale was Rs. 159 crore against Rs. 168 crores, posting 5% degrowth. Continued strike in France for pension reforms till mid of May 2023 led to delays in delivery of consignments, which is now normalized. Hence, we continue to guide for the mid-teen growth in FY 2024. Let's move to the next vertical, US Generics. US Generics contributed 21% to the total revenue in Q1, with sales of Rs. 213 crores against Rs. 179 crores, posting 19% growth. We expect revenue for the next three quarters to be on the similar level. In Q1, we filed three ANDAs and expect to file about five ANDAs in rest of FY 2024. We received three final approvals during the quarter and expect to launch four to five products in rest of the year. We have 41 products available on the shelf and 21 ANDAs are awaiting approval with US FDA. Let's now move to the third and the last piece of our business, which is Africa Institution. This business contributed 6% in the total revenue, which comprises of anti-malarial product. In Q1, the sale was Rs. 65 crores against Rs. 77 crores, posting 16% degrowth. As the supplies are dependent on the procurement agency's funds availability, it remains unpredictable. I now invite Mr. Arvind Agrawal, CFO, to take you through the financial performance. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. Good evening and warm welcome to the first earning call of FY 2024. We will look at the consolidated financials as always and provide year-on-year comparison. The key financial highlights for Q1 2024 are as follows. Total revenue stood at Rs. 1021 crores against 951 crores, posting a 7% growth. Gross margin stood at 75%, which was in line with our guidance for the year. The 2% improvement in the margin is a result of softening API prices and euro coming back to normal against INR. We expect gross margin to remain at this level for FY 2024. Personnel cost increased by 17%, part of which about 6% is on account of regrouping of related expenses from selling expenses, as explained in Q4 FY23 earning call, and balance was regular annual increment. Other expenses stood at Rs. 285 crores in Q1, an increase of 7% over previous year same period. International logistic cost is now at pre-COVID levels, which has resulted in a benefit of about 25 crores or about 2.5% of export sales against average of FY2023. R&D expenses was Rs. 55 crores against 54 crores for the quarter or 5% of revenue. We expect R&D expenses to inch up little in coming quarters and at about 6% for FY2024. EBITDA margin stood at 26% of revenue from operations at Rs. 271 crores against 222 crores on the back of benefit in gross margin and logistic cost. We retain our guidance of about 25% plus minus 1% EBITDA margin for FY2024. Other income was at Rs. 32 crores in Q1, mainly contributed by forex gain of Rs. 20 crores. Income tax stood at 23% for Q1 and we expect it to be same level in FY2024. Profit after tax in Q1 was rupees 208 crores against rupees 175 crores, 20% of revenue from operations. We incurred capex of rupees 26 crores in Q1 to FY 2024. Capex including maintenance capex for FY 2024 is estimated to be at rupees 200 crores, which also includes new corporate house capex. With these highlights, I open the floor for the question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. If your questions have been answered and you wish to withdraw yourself from the queue, you may enter star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, you may press star and one. We have the first question from the line of Onkar Ghungarde from Shri Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, hello. My question is regarding the target which you have set for, say, next 3 to 4 years for the company in terms of revenue as well as margin.
See, the 3 to 4 years is a little long-term thing, and I think we should not be able to, we will not be able to give you the guidance on that. The only thing which we talked generally was that we are expecting mid-teen growth for the next year.
You said what kind of growth for the next year?
Mid-teen growth.
Okay, mid-teen growth. Okay.
Yeah.
And directionally, what kind of revenue and margin trajectory we should look at? I'm not looking for a specific guidance here, but more of a direction.
As we mentioned earlier also in Q4, I think the direction is absolutely positive because all the levers are there, branded generic business is growing. So naturally the direction has to be positive.
Okay, and for the next couple of years, any big... Hello?
Haji.
Yes, my question was regarding for next... couple of years, any big opportunity you are looking at for increasing revenue?
I think it's a culmination of a lot of things coming together. Increasing the market share from the existing products and existing people, then launching of the new products, adding more people. So all the R&D work which we are doing in the current year or which we have done last year will come to the life in next year and subsequently. So all the things are in a positive direction. So there are a lot of work which is happening in the R&D regulatory sphere front to file the dossiers. As we get the approvals, we are able to bring those products to the market. So overall, I think it's a composition of multiple things which will going right. There is no one single thing which we can point out and say that, you know, one big thing will happen like this.
So any big product launch lined up in a couple of years can be a big opportunity for the company in terms of market size.
I can't give you anything specific like that, but as I said, in general, all the products which you will file in USA, let's say 8 this year, they will get approval next year. What we filed last year got approval this year. All those, I think, cumulatively, it should add up to giving us the mid-teen growth. That's the aspiration. And second thing is we are always look out to grow faster than the market. So both things put together, we are optimistic about the future growth.
So, directionally, you are talking about around mid-teens kind of growth for the couple of years down the line.
You can say directionally, yes, but we don't give out that long guidances. Normally, right. We just say that the current next year, which is current year now. So, this is the guidance mid-teens we are giving. But directionally, you can say that, yes, that is our aspiration to grow at a mid-teens.
Yeah, and what about the margin trajectory?
Should remain in the similar vicinity of what we have said for the current year. EBITDA at we've guided around 25-26%, so around there is what we are looking at to maintain. Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of US business we can look for in next 2-3 years?
2-3 years, I think, as I said, is a little far away. We don't give out the guidances that way. I think current year we have started off very well in the Q1. We have posted a healthy growth of 17% odd. We've done a 214 crores for the Q1. For the rest of the quarters, we can expect similar kind of levels to maintain and post a healthy growth despite the challenges which we have seen in the US of price erosion and things like that. But a lot of things we are doing right. We should be able to hold on to the current quarter for the rest of the year, rest of the quarter.
As I can see, the ROE of the company has been going down for last 2-3 years. Any specific things you are looking to increase that?
Yeah, as the improvement will come in the EBITDA margin, I think that also will improve positively. And one thing is that we have already finished our capex, big capex plan. Now it's only maintenance capex which is going to be there. So ROE is going to improve.
So any internal targets which you have set for this?
No, we don't give out that number. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and good evening, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, first question is related to the US business. We were planning that, there won't be any incremental capital allocation on the US business and we will focus more on the branded market because there was a lot of uncertainty. But now, US, that because of the awaiting price erosion and the opportunities are improving due to the supply disruption and all, is the plan changing and we would focus on US also or... we still stick to the same plan?
No, you rightly said the US is an evolving landscape. Scenario has turned tables now. There is a lot of talk about the shortages which are happening in the US market for various reasons. Some geopolitical, some compliance related, things like that. So that's an evolving market. Having said that, I think CapEx we don't need to do because we have enough capacities. In the production for whatever products which we have filed and whatever we have work in progress in R&D, even if we file in next 2 years and commercialize, we've done the mapping and there are no additional capacities required, maybe maintenance. So there is no significant capex required as such otherwise also because we have capacities. In R&D also we have enough capex which is done, so there is enough bandwidth there also. So I think capex will otherwise also remain low, whether it is US or non-US. OPEX is what we were saying that we will be very judicious about for the US market because the cost of filing an ANDA is very high. So we still remain that way. We still will continue to be very, putting a lot of filters in product selection because the cost is very high. So having said that, we filed 3 ANDAs in this first quarter and we plan to file at least 5 ANDAs in the rest of the year. So I think the plans, smart product selection, very robust supply chain, no stock out, no back orders, all that are positive with us and we will continue to build on that.
And any improvement in the price erosion which you have seen, I remember that the last quarter of FY23 you said that the price erosion in high double digit, but what is the price erosion currently in this quarter?
No, it has, thankfully it has stabilized quite a lot and you would hear this commentary I think in multiple con calls of Indian and multinational companies. So we are seeing that into the high single digit as a average price erosion. So yeah, that has come down in a normal range which used to be there earlier also.
Okay. And can you give any update on Vimovo launch and your update on Topiramate and Chantix products? What is happening over there? We still have queries or we have approvals or any launch timelines which you can give?
Three products you asked for. First one is a Vivomo that is already commercialized. We did commercialize in last quarter only. So I think it's just initial supplies have started. The second is Chantix, that is a work in progress.
That is to pyramid.
Yeah, that is work in progress for the Chantix. All going, it depends on the regulatory landscape. From our side, we have given everything what FDA has asked for. There have been no more questions from the FDA. So now we're just waiting for the FDA to give us a nod. We are getting ready to launch. all going well, if we get the nod, it could be a Q4 or a next year Q1 launch. So subject to the regulatory approvals. And the third was the Topiramate. That is, I think, we are bound by some confidentiality which we have signed with the company which we have settled the matter. So I think we'll leave it at that.
Okay. Okay, sir. I have more questions. I'll join back with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening, sir. So in the domestic business, 14% growth is quite impressive. But could you just share how much of the growth was impacted due to Metexcel price cuts in the last quarter?
Metexcel price cut, we have not calculated the exact impact, but the overall impact we have been able to nullify by way of the growth in volumes that we have tried to push forward. But that figure can be worked out and shared with you at a later date because it's a very kind of an integrated figure on that.
Sure. Not a problem. And sir, could you share how much of your domestic revenue comes from trade generics?
36 crores in this quarter.
Right. 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 And that is growing at a much, much faster rate. And what's the outlook maybe you would like to share? Maybe slightly aspirational outlook for the next couple of years on this business?
No, no. Actually, it has grown only by 10%. Last year, it was 33. This year, it is 36. So it just grown by 10%. So our overall business has grown by 14%, but that was grown by 10% only.
And aspirationally, going forward, I expect it to grow in low double-digit number itself, maybe between 10% and 12%. So that's what we aim for.
Sure. And I mean, just a slightly larger question on this. Some of your competitors, one of the bigger competitors, has entered this business very recently. What is it about this market that's all of a sudden making it very attractive for pharma players?
As a matter of fact, most of the large companies have been in this segment for quite some time. We have been very careful and a late entrant as such. Having said that, we have done exceptionally well in the last 3 years because of our own internal focus and the strategies that we deployed for this segment. This segment continues to be very attractive for all the Indian pharma companies because it operates at a very different kind of a business model. And it's growing in low double digits. So it's an attractive market for all of us, actually, to operate in.
Sir, do you think maybe in the longer run, it could cannibalize the branded growth?
This business has been existent in the country for over two decades. And so far, we haven't seen that playing out. So I don't know really if that's going to play out in the future as well, at least in the near future, foreseeable next five-year horizon. I don't see that as a major threat to the prescription pharmaceutical business.
Sure. Sure. And just one last one for Arvind. Arvind, you mentioned in the presentation the freight costs have gone down sharply. So pre-COVID, it used to be around 4% of revenues. Last year, it was around 6.5%. So would it be fair to assume it's back to around 4%, and you expect it to remain so?
Yeah. I think it should remain at this level now because these are the levels which have come down now. So we expect this to be the level which should be there, and accordingly, that benefit should flow in the P&L.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Forum Parekh from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes. You are audible now.
Yeah. Okay. So congratulations on a good set of numbers. Can you just throw some color? U.S. segment has grown by 19%. So what are the levers for this growth?
It's been a combination of existing product, increasing the market share, and some new product launches. So combination of all these things, we've been able to register a good sales and good growth.
And you just said that, you know, price erosion has now settled to lower single digits. So do you see any further de-escalation of price erosion, or it would, you know, it will settle at the same price?
Very difficult to predict, but just wanted to correct. I did not say low single digit. I said high single digit. It's around 8% odd. So that's the price erosion which we are seeing back. No, it's very difficult to predict. You know, US is a very different set of market. Having said that, from visibility we have right now, we feel it should remain in this similar range unless something unexpected happens.
Okay. And in India business, would we have any guidance on the number of launches, you know, that we expect in this year?
In this year, we would expect anywhere between 3 to 5 more launches to come in. We are expecting to launch first time in the country product in the cardiovascular segment, anytime soon. And other than that, we would still be in the top three in the industry to launch those products which we have lined up for the remaining year.
Okay. And sir, I see that EBITDA guidance, EBITDA margin has come back to, you know, like 25% as guided. But 2-3 years down the line, do we expect it to be in the normal earlier 30s or, you know, what we used to have? So any guidance over there, like can we inch up to 30% margin in, you know, 3-4 years time?
I think you will appreciate that such a long time guidance will be difficult. Directionally, I have always been telling that yes, we will keep on improving on this because all the levers are now in place and we are able to really contain the cost, etc., which were beyond our control. So there is absolutely no problem on that count, but giving any number will be very, very difficult.
Okay, appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Rashmi Shetty from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. I just missed the number. Did you give any guidance on the US sales for FY24?
Yeah, we are saying single digit growth, mid-single digit.
Mid-single digit growth. So I just want to ask one more thing that, you know, all the expansion plans like adding full force and registering more products in the Asia and Africa branded business, that we have already completed, right?
Yeah, big part has been completed. Now normal increase, whatever happens, but the expansion drive is completed, yeah.
Okay, so with this, we are also seeing the softening of the input cost. Then we are seeing all our geographies are expected to do well, branded, like, you know, mid-teens, even US price erosion will be coming down, which would help, you know, gross margins to improve. So do you think that this 25% EBITDA margin in FY24 is very conservative in nature, or you feel that the investment in other expenses or R&D expenses or something is likely to go up and that would hold back the expansion in a big way in EBITDA margin?
You are absolutely right, you know, because there are other expenses which are still to be incurred. There are other things also which, you know, you must have seen R&D expenses in this quarter was just 5%, which we expect that it will inch up to 6%, as I mentioned in my call. So I think we are very confident of about this 25% plus minus 1% EBITDA margin for this year.
Okay. Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Akash D. from Motilal Oswal Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have just one question. Does US sales guidance include Santix sales as well?
No, it doesn't include Chantix.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Chandragupta, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So I have two questions. First is, there is a news about the launch of a malaria vaccine recently in Africa on a large scale. So just wanted to know whether this will have any impact on our Africa sales, you know, both institutional as well as the branded. That was the first question. Second question is, this interim dividend, you are calling it as the first interim dividend. So does it indicate there would be more to follow, or you know, more broadly, does it indicate any shift from buybacks to dividends, you know, as a means of cash distribution? Yeah. Because now that the share price has improved, whether there is any thought process like that to move from buybacks to dividends? This is the second question. Thank you.
First question about the malaria vaccine. It's very early to gauge that what impact it will have in the private anti-malaria business market or the institution business. I think there will be scaling up will take some time in Africa. The funding has to be organized. There are certain other challenges of vaccination. And even if the vaccination is done at what percentage level, and so it's going to take some time, even if it is implemented at full capacity. So with that, my assessment would be, it would be very marginal impact, and it will take a long time for it to kind of have a significant impact on the anti-malaria business right now. So that is one. Regarding the dividend, as we have shared in our press release also, we mark the occasion of 50 years of Ajanta's 50th anniversary. So on account of that, 10 rupees is our normal dividend which we have paid, which we normally do every year in interim dividend, and 15 rupees was on the occasion of the 50th anniversary. It was the first dividend in the first quarter, so that's why we are calling it first dividend. Let us see during the year how the things progress and what kind of cash balance and what kind of approach we take. So unable to guide you or tell you that what will happen in the rest of the year, what kind of dividends will be given.
Okay, thank you. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
Thank you. Participants, if you have a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Amar Maurya from AlfAccurate Advisors. Please go ahead. Mr. Maurya, your line has been unmuted. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thanks a lot for the opportunity and congratulations for a good margin recovery. Sir, just wanted to understand one thing. This Centex opportunity, how big the opportunity in US?
I will not be able to give you any number because things can change a lot from now to till that time. Already one player got approval, they could be launching. How many more people are there and what approvals they will get is difficult to gauge.
So, what would be the current market size?
As I remember, I think ICUI is quite sizable. It's hundreds of million dollars, I think.
$100 million, right?
No, hundreds of million. I think currently could be a $500 million, but that's not a real sale. Once you do the chargeback and all that, it could be much lower. So it could be a few $100 million, let's say.
Okay, sir. Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Okay, sure.
To ask a question, you may enter star and one. We have the next question from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up. So just one question. So when would you need to increase your domestic field force to sustain this mid-teens kind of a growth that you aspire for?
No, so a couple of things. One is our projection forecast for the domestic in has been low teens, not the mid-teens. A. B. We don't foresee that we need any kind of expansion in the field force. I believe that we have optimum coverage in every specialty, and the increase in the productivity is what will drive our business going forward. We have enough room to grow in every specialty with the existing number of medical representatives.
And this, should I assume for the next 2 to 3 years, you don't need to do that, right?
Hard to say 2 to 3 years. I would rather stick to the current year at least, in the foreseeable 9 months, or maybe at least in 1 year.
we don't see any major addition happening. There may be some minor additions or deletions based on the addition in the number of customers that happened in any particular territory, but nothing of significance as such.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Gagan Thareja from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. My question pertains to the Africa and Asia business. I think for the quarter, the sales growth reported is 6% for Asia year on year and a drop of 5% year on year for Africa branded. Africa and Asia both seem to be very volatile, and the first quarter seems to have been relatively weak. Any comments there, and how should we think of it from a full year perspective?
So as I said in my opening commentary, for Africa, primary reason was the disruption in the supply chain because of the strike in France, which persisted till mid-May. And only, I think, in the June, the supply chain got restored. So despite that challenges, we have posted a decent growth. If you see, our Q4 was practically 100 crores last year. Against that, we have smartly recovered, and almost 158 crores we posted on this Q1. So
a little more on why a strike in France has caused the disruption in French West African sales. I mean, I understand there might be a couple of countries which are in a way sort of French states maybe in Africa, but by and large, how does this whole thing interplay? I am unable to understand.
So I will make you understand. The supplies go through France. All the supplies go through France. All the shipments go to France, and from there the distribution occurs. So they were not able to, the containers got backed up on the ports. Ship was not able to dock. Whatever stock was there from the France onwards to Africa, that got blocked. So that was the reason for this disruption. And
why are they routed through France? I'm sorry. Why are the supplies?
I can't get you into so many details, but that's how the business is done there. It's not that's the way the nature of the business is. It goes through France.
Is it a regulatory requirement, or is it more to do with
commercial arrangement?
Pardon me?
It's a commercial matter, not a regulatory requirement.
Okay. And why has been the Asia sales relatively weak, 6% growth in Asia?
Yeah, so Asia started off slightly softer this quarter. But having said that, we are expecting in the next 2-3 quarters, we will bounce back and the growth should come back. There's no particular reason which I can tell you that why the growth has been slightly below what we were expecting it to be.
But you retain your full year sort of double digit sort of
guidance
for both these branded generic markets?
Yes.
Right. And I think you did a sizable increase in your international field force last year. Would some sort of operating leverage play out on that in the current year?
Not current year. It takes normally for any addition in the field force, it takes about 2 years for them to really start giving us the advantage. So not this year, but next year onwards, we should definitely get some benefit out of that.
All right. Thank you, sir. I'll get back in the
queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
If there are no questions, then we can close it. There is no problem.
Sure, sir. Mr. Agrawal, would you like to make any closing comments?
Yes.
No, thank you everyone for joining this call. If there are any further questions that remain unanswered today, please reach out to our investor relations. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Ajanta Pharma Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you.